Hi Dominique, welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, thank you. How are you, Andrew?
Yes, I'm good. I'm trying something out with a hoodie, like my techie tech bro with, the now the tech bros are all over Washington. I'm, thinking I'll try and present myself as one.
Very impressive.
Yes.
But I thought the tech bros were wearing, like Steve Jobs sweater.
Oh, yes. I feel like that could have gotten tainted by Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes,
You know?
certainly did nothing good for that type of sweater, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
that look. Okay, cool. Let's dive in. So, timestamp, it's Friday, January 17th. And before the, obviously, it's the Friday before Martin Luther King Day and also obviously Trump inauguration. So maybe let's quickly dive into views, kind of takeaways from the past week first. Market
Sure.
reactions.
So, I mean, the big story, of course, is the recovery in the bond market after the CPI, which I think was completely overblown. It was one small surprise, but if you look at the broader picture, and I try to do that in my review, if you look at expectations, actually, they are either stable and above where they were before the pandemic, or they are increasing. If
You
you
mean
look at
growth or inflation?
inflation
Inflation. Okay.
expectations,
Yep.
also there is a problem that growth is well above trend. Some of that is productivity, which is great, but some of that is also an excess of demand, as you see with the external deficit that's getting worse. And that's typically what happens when there's not enough supply domestically to meet the domestic demand. People just import stuff, and that's what's happening. If you look at all the various measures of price indices that are supposed to give us an idea of the trend, or even the components like food, medical care, these are components that the St. Louis Fed has done some work on, and they think they are the better indicator of future inflation. So those are going up. It's true that shelter costs are coming
Yeah, I was
off,
going to say, yeah.
but the thing about shelter costs is that they are getting close to some of the market indices. So indices of the rents of people who are changing a apartment of house. And the idea was that the CPI rent index would adjust more slowly, okay? But it's unlikely to fall through the market rents, right? You're not going to renew your lease at a rent that is below market. So it could be that we are getting kind of a floor there. So to me, and then you have the incoming administration, and I'm starting to get a sense of what they are doing. And trust me, they don't want slower growth. And there are all kinds of levers to push it up. And I'm getting a sense that, they are getting ready.
Right. I think, my one question is I think we talked about last time, or I mentioned with somebody is when I saw that interview with Trump, I was saying with on Meet the Press, and I remember he said, he goes, "I know why I got elected, inflation. So I will address that." Now, he's not an economist, right? So he may think that you can have strong growth and inflation still come down or not rise back up. And I guess that's really the question, because the growth numbers seem to be pretty strong. And
So I agree on two, but I actually think there is they are actually planning on doing something else.
Yeah.
What they are going to do, and that's what came out of the testimony of Bessent, the confirmation hearing. I think they are going to raise wages because they know that if they raise tariff for everything, prices are going to go up. I mean, even if it's just prices rather than inflation, so if it's a one-off rather than an increase in the inflation rate, it's still, if you have to pay suddenly 30% more for your car that's imported from Mexico, that's a big change in price.
Yeah.
So they are saying, oh, this is not going to happen. This will be painless because the dollar will appreciate. But I find this very disingenuous because you cannot have a positive impact from tariff, which would be basically that US growth and investment become much more domestic focused. You cannot have that without a change in prices. So you cannot have the positive effect, which is medium term, without an actual change in prices. So I find this a bit disingenuous. And during the hearing, Bessent mentioned that they would try to raise real wages. And Trump is not an economist, but he has some very smart people around him, including Bessent. And I think they figured out what the mainstream media missed, which was, yes, the election was about inflation, but also about real wages. If
Right.
people's income had increased enough to pay those high prices, especially low-income people, inflation would never have been such a big topic. But the issue was real wages remained below the level of 2019 until last year. So I think the plan is to raise real wages to make up for the increase in prices that somehow has to come from the tariff by ending immigration. Illegal immigration, which will be unskilled immigration, which will be a big one, and boosting growth, which brings us to fiscal policy and to the role of tariff in generating revenues. And that's one thing that Bessent said very clearly. He said there were three goals for the increase in tariff. What he called remedying unfair trade practices, then a revenue raiser, and then using it at leverage. So if they are going to raise revenues from the tariff, it's going to be quite substantial. I mean, the tariff increase is going to be quite substantial. And by the way, it's going to be a headache for the CBO. They have to score every budget law, and given that as Bilal mentioned, the US has not relied on tariff as a source of budget revenue since the 19th century. It's going to be really tough from a macro perspective to predict what the revenue impact is going to be. So there is that. But the other thing, so there is a scope for an actual, if not predicted, increase in the budget deficit. But I think the other thing that's coming is, and that was also in Bessent, maybe I should use his French pronunciation, Bessent,
So.
one of the senators, I think from Louisiana,
Yeah.
joked that he was going to use a French pronunciation. But
Oh, is that Kennedy?
Kennedy,
I
Senator
like
Kennedy.
him. I feel like he's pretty
Well,
balanced.
actually, those here, this was a really good. This was a really good hearing. So he said, Bessent said that he was that Biden did not enforce the purchase element of the phase one agreement with China, that China was supposed to buy more US goods to plug its trade surplus with the US. And this, plus, I suspect they will do more phase one type agreements with other
Right.
countries.
But I don't think they did it even when Trump was in power. Remember, they promised to make all these purchases and they didn't really do that.
Oh, of course, of course. But you know how it is in politics. You have a selective memory.
Right.
So No, but if they do that, it's positive for growth, but it's also positive for inflation
Yeah.
because they
But
will
that brings up
basically.
a question. Yeah, I was just sorry to interrupt, but because you mentioning before. So let's say and so imported goods is not a huge thing, but let's just say in general, and if the dollar is strong, that is going to offset some of it. So you know, the dollar's already appreciated, I don't know, like 8% against the euro as an example, but if they push up real wages and imported goods and services, goods certainly, and inflate, so that means like CPI could be at 4.
I am
Or
very.
does it not, like, does the Fed have to react to that scenario? That
So it.
let's say they thread the needle and do exactly what you think they're going to
Yeah.
do. Yeah.
So that depends on the margin behavior of businesses. Basically, wages go up. So either businesses pass on the increase in the wages or they take a decrease in their profit margin. And again, there was something that Bessent said there, which was very, very revealing. He said the economy, our economy, is going to be for Main Street, not Wall Street. Wall Street will continue to do well, but maybe not as well as before. And he also mentioned in his testimony the fact that the income share of labor had been falling for like 20 years, which, as you know, I've been talking about for like forever.
I know.
So they are planning to have strong growth so that they can have an increase in wages and probably in the share of wages in income. And an okay equity market, but not that great. So
But not
how do you
amazing,
do that? Actually,
yeah.
it's unclear that they really need a much looser Fed because they don't want to get into a wage price spiral, but they probably want strong competitive policies, and they have appointed FTC head who is a Republican but pro competition. And you know, in the exchange, there was some really fabulous exchanges like with Elizabeth Warren. She wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal saying she was ready to cooperate with the Trump administration on basically increasing the competitiveness of the economy. You know that Trump during the campaign promised or mentioned that he would cap credit card interest rate at 10%. I mean, just so you know, they're about 25%. So he has a lot. There is a lot of populist measures that he mentioned during the campaign, and now the Democratic senators are saying, "Hey, let's go for it." And I suspect they are probably going to enforce competition policies that support small businesses
Yeah,
against.
they also still have all those like payday loans. They have those like, what, you know, those loans backed by credit card receipts. I forgot. They're still like, if credit card, I wonder if that like they push down on interest rates here, but then it just goes like further out the spectrum of kind of like quality counterparts,
Oh, for sure.
like
No, no,
you know,
it will, for
but
sure. It.
it's. The issue, I guess, so how does actually tech work out in that instance? Because
Ah.
that's still really the market anyway. And if AI is maybe reducing the need for how many people they have, and you know,
Yes, so
and
tech.
all tech is actually clearly trying to have a good relationship with Trump, which I'm sure he recognizes.
Yeah, so as you know, the Republicans feel that there was a bias of big tech against them. Also, Matt Taibbi, you know, one of the most respected if and irreverent American journalists, has done all this work on the Twitter file showing how before Musk purchased, there was collusion between the administration and Twitter to censor politically sensitive topics like the Hunter Biden laptop
Laptop,
story,
yeah.
information that was deemed to be negative for COVID vaccines and so on and so forth. So there is a sort of a past history. And also remember that Trump has set up his own platform. And he, for Trump, you know, as president, his business is never going to be very far from his heart. So I suspect they might just want to enforce smart competition policy to increase competition for big tech. On the other hand, they probably won't be as against mergers.
So Lina Khan is out, right?
Pardon?
Lina
Lina
Khan is
Khan,
out.
she is out, but they picked to replace her. They picked one of the two Republican commissioners and the one who is the more pro-competition guy. But the bottom line is there was always a strong streak of populism. So pro the, in the sense of pro the people policies, not necessarily you know, Latin American dictatorship with double digit inflation. So populism in a positive way. There was always a strong strand of that. J.D. Vance, especially, you know, he was
He
a
doesn't
big
love big tech. He thinks there should be more competition. You should be
and
more
he was
supporting small and mid tech, or so,
100%. And even you know, if you look at Pentagon procurement. I mean, there is a need for the US to get much more agile with its procurement policy and to really nurture the startup. So, and it would make for a better, for a more efficient armed forces. So, there is a lot of good reasons to do what they want to do. And Vance was always a populist guy. And there was a, you know, they were. You know what happens on the campaign trail. You talk a lot. So there was always a lot of uncertainty on how populist they would be. But that Bessent hearing shows that, yeah, actually they want to work for the little guy. And that could be quite quite dramatic. And in my view, that would mean a higher share of labor income, means higher growth and higher inflation.
yeah. And higher growth and higher inflation, and as long as rates are not increased from these levels, they should be starting to be to from the higher growth, it should be starting to work down the debt a little bit.
Well, that will definitely help to reduce the rate. And in terms of the Fed, you know, so first of all, as I said, I don't think they are planning anything dramatic that would really lift inflation in the short run. I think they are looking at oil prices with a little bit of concern. And I expect them to apply some diplomacy, maybe lift some of the sanctions that, by some very strange mystery, the Biden administration, you know, did not implement any sanctions on Russia that could have lifted oil prices until 1 week or 2 weeks before inauguration. So, how strange. So, I
It's really
suspect.
been like a scorched earth. Okay, cool. So what are your what are your big kind of I guess executive order? Yeah, what are your big takeaways?
So we'll get 100, so or close to
Just give
100,
us
but
your
they won't.
top 30.
So
Just kidding.
definitely closing the borders. It's not just about going for illegal immigrants because it's clear they are not going to deport 11 million people because they want growth. They won't have the, they will have the mother of recession if they would do that. But I think they will remove some of the temporary protections. I mean, there was still a lot of inflow, even with the tighter policy of the Biden administration. So immigration is there. I think the tariff, they will start on day one with tariff. So, and again, they've Bessent said something in my view, very smart, which, by the way, was in my spoof letter from the Treasury Secretary to Trump president-elect that I published in December, that the tariff increases will be gradual and pre-announced to give businesses time to adjust and to make for a stable business environment. So we're going to have the first tariffs. I initially thought they would be on specific countries, but I suspect they are going to be across the board, and they are going to be low initially and probably announce gradual increases. What else?
Okay, so in that case, that would be positive for the market, probably positive for
Yes.
equities and probably bearish the dollar.
Yes, because
But obviously, there's other things. Yeah.
the market by now, I think, has accepted that tariffs are inevitable. So I
Right.
thought that was
So you don't
also
think it'll be higher against Mexico, China, Canada, whoever, you know?
I think it will be across the board. Before Bessent's testimony, I thought it will be Mexico, Canada, and China, but I think actually they will start low with across the board. I mean, what he said about the revenue riser and the leverage. Tariffs. Another thing which is in the works and which was very interesting in that hearing, the Fed. So he said, I support Fed independence in terms of monetary policy. And I think what was unsaid there was, I don't support it for regulation and supervision of the banking system.
That's what I figured,
And
yeah.
I think the plan there is to take those from the Fed and give them to the Treasury, and also to have unified supervision of the financial sector under the Treasury, which, again, in my view, is something that should have been done since the financial crisis. I think in the US, we have what, three or four banking supervisors? I mean, come on. So the plan is to bring those under the umbrella of the Treasury. I don't know how soon it will happen because it probably needs an act from Congress, but that's one where I think they can find the 60 votes in the Senate because it's a common sense measure that should have been done a long time ago. But certainly gives the Treasury a lot more influence on banking regulation. And I think the plan is actually to remove the SLR exemption, the supplementary liquidity ratio. It's basically the capital coefficient you apply to various elements of your balance sheet. And during the pandemic, the SLR was suspended for bonds and for reserves, because the Fed was going crazy with QE, I mean, the mother of balance sheet expansion, and there's no way the banks could hold that much reserves without an exemption in the SLR. And then the exemption was reinstated, I think, in 2021 or 2022. And of course, banks had too much reserve. I mean, it was too costly to hold
Yeah.
reserve.
So yeah, so what's the big
So the big thing
impact?
is going to increase the demand for treasuries and
That's what
have
I
to
yeah. Which
yeah.
is what they that kind of benefits.
Of course, they
Yeah.
can have their cake and eat it because they have faster nominal GDP
Yeah, I
growth.
remember you saying, yeah,
And
that's good.
so
Okay,
I
cool. I
don't
just have
know.
to wrap it up in like 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, the other big ones, yeah.
So these are the main ones. There will be a few on law and orders about collaboration with blue states on immigration policy and so on and so forth. But
Salt, the salt tax thing.
so the salt tax, it's going to be in the reconciliation bill for our non-US listeners. Salt is a state and local tax which you used to be able to decrease.
Deduct, yeah.
Offset against your
Got it.
taxable income, removed under the first Trump, essentially because blue states are high tax states, and there is a possibility it could be brought back, but this will be done in the reconciliation bill they are
But
planning.
they'll be with a cap or something this time, you think,
I think they are negotiating by how much they can raise tariff in order to
right.
reinstate the sole tax, which, by the way, is a little could be a little regressive, in the
Yeah.
sense that people who consume more are low-income people, and those are going to be hit the most by the tariffs.
Yeah. Well, he did say he'd also consider the ending the overseas tax for US citizens, but let's see.
Ah, well, time to take Russian citizenship. I'm just making a silly joke here. Maybe not.
Okay. I mean, listen, it's going to be an interesting, I'm just looking through that, Bandar Bilal just put out this dollar bearish, definitely going against sentiment. But I guess in general, if it is fairly low and across the board, tariffs, actually maybe the market takes that as,
Oh, for sure, because they've
you take it as more dollar bearish.
the incoming guys have done a great job of
Yeah.
preparing the market for tariffs. I think everybody has accepted
Yeah.
it. No, it's not going to be a shock.
I was we're talking about in the office in London, talking to friends in the US. People, I just feel like people are just so bullish.
But
Just like
it's super
feeling like
exciting.
they're just going to address a lot of like amazing things. And obviously, every administration people are bullish, right? In the beginning, but it feels like there's a lot of business people that are there, and they're going to kind of, obviously there's so many moving parts and unintended kind of consequences, but
That will keep us busy.
yes,
It's
exactly.
exciting.
Exciting.
Disruption at
Yes,
last.
exactly. Okay, cool. Well, good luck. And I think we were saying like maybe we'll try either I can always just interview you, or we do like a special our weekly markets call on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. But for our listeners, we'll be doing something at mainly kind of talking to you and really kind of going through also getting Antonio, everyone else, Bilal's views on the market impacts and stuff, but kind of going through all the executive orders and tariffs and everything. So
For sure, a lot to go through.
cool. Okay, cool. All right. Have a
Bye.
very nice weekend, everyone. Obviously, good luck with everything. And for those people taking the day off before, enjoy the holiday.